Amy Robinson, thank you for joining us at Montana Public Radio.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Eric.
Who is the Montana Wilderness Association?
We are a nonprofit organization. We are a wilderness advocacy group. We work with communities across Montana. We've been doing so since 1958.
We invited you here to talk about the new forest plan for the Flathead National Forest specifically, but actually five of Montana's eight national forests are all sort of getting into the forest planning process right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They're calling the Flathead National Forest an early adopter, so it's kind of one of the first ones out of the gate.
Why are these forest plans important, or are they important?
It's very important for all of us. It's how our public lands are managed. So it's a great opportunity for everyone and throughout Montana to get involved and speak up about what's important to you in our public lands. The Flathead Forest is about 2.3 million acres, so it's a lot of land.
Before you came here, you were visiting with MWA members in Missoula to talk specifically about the Flathead Plan. What kinds of things were you talking about, and what kinds of questions and dialogue were you guys having?
I talked about some really cool hikes in some special roadless areas, and then what, you know, where the Flathead Forest is going in terms of managing those areas, and how that fits into the larger landscape, both within the crown, the big crown of the continent, and within the Flathead Forest itself.
Is MWA solely concerned with just the wilderness aspect of the forest plan, or are there other parts like, you know, the appropriate level of logging, fire mitigation, stuff like that, wildlife? Or
yeah, no, absolutely. Our sort of main focus is quiet recreation and wildlife values that are about wilderness, but we're also about protecting backcountry experiences for, you know, non-motorized and motorized. And we understand that a balanced approach is needed across the forest.
Are there aspects of the forest plan where MWA is going to try to have some influence on management and the plan for the forest outside of wilderness?
So yeah, there's a new planning rule right now. It's this 2012 planning rule that the Forest Service is sort of creating their plan around. And there's some new components that's really important for wildlife and connectivity and climate change that we're definitely interested in. And then there's some new policy around, you know, how the Forest Service is going to manage recommended wilderness. And so we're keeping our eyes on those components for sure.
My understanding is roughly half of the Flathead is already federally protected wilderness, about 1.2 million acres of the 2.3, 2.4 million. The new forest plan sets aside another 80,000 acres for recommended wilderness. How does that sit with the Wilderness Association?
Actually, it's about 188,000 acres of recommended wilderness in the current proposed action. John Weaver with the Wildlife Conservation Society, a scientist, did this report recently, and he called the Flathead the flagship forest. Many people, many citizens and managers came before me to knit together these protected areas from Glacier Park to the Bob Marshall Wilderness to the Mission Mountain Wilderness. And that in itself has made this amazing, special, functioning ecosystem the most functioning ecosystem in the lower 48. And it's globally significant to boot. And there's more opportunities, in my viewpoint, to protect more acres, especially in the Swan Range, and add additional wilderness protection for the Bob Marshall.
Let me ask you about that, because you mentioned that 44% of the forest is already federally protected wilderness. It's surrounded by other public lands. So why do we need another 188,000 acres of wilderness if there's already so much protected?
That's a lot of the dialogue that we have in our diverse groups that we work with, people having so many values across public lands. I think we have this uncertain future ahead. Frankly, we try to predict what climate change means and how we're going to protect wildlife and connectivity. And I think with the level of uncertainty that lies ahead and with the specialness of this landscape, that we can't do enough, really, to protect it in my point of view.
That 188,000 acres of additional recommended wilderness that's in the plan, MWA actually thinks that should be more. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. I believe that the Flathead Forest has done a really great job at releasing a balanced, good start in a proposed action, especially in the Whitefish Range, which is a really important area that members and MWA and citizen advocates have been trying to protect for decades. And the Flathead is recommending an additional 80,000 acres of wilderness up in the Whitefish Range, which is just on the the west side of Glacier National Park, right up by the Canadian border there. There's the highest density of grizzly bears in that area in the lower 48. In my viewpoint, we're going to need all the grizzly bear protection we can in the future.
You mentioned climate change a couple of times. What does wilderness protection have to do with climate change?
I think it's connected, you know. I believe that, like I said, these wilderness areas provide refugia as wildlife continue to move and try to find food, essentially, in the future as food sources change. And as the climate begins to warm, as, you know, this area, we're due to have more wildfires, right? These wildlife are going to need additional areas to move and try to find refuge.
MWA was part of the Whitefish Range partnership that had a lot to do with the wilderness recommendations that are in the forest plan now. Can you tell me about how that group of people from very different backgrounds and viewpoints got together and agreed on the level of wilderness that is in the forest plan now?
So we came together, like about 30 of us, diverse interests from timber to summer motorized recreation, winter motorized recreation. We had mountain bikers at the table. We had lots of landowners up the North Fork, some businesses, outfitters, that kind of thing, backcountry horsemen. We met for about 13 months tackling various topics specific to the Whitefish Range only, not Flathead Forest wide. We tackled topics like wild and scenic rivers, weeds, timber, wilderness, motorized recreation, and we came up with recommendations for each of these 12 topics and presented those recommendations to the Forest Service for consideration in the forest plan.
So did MWA go into that process with a certain number of acres of wilderness that you really wanted to see protected, and did you get out of there with that same number intact?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people ask me similar questions, and you know, MWA doesn't have sort of a master plan of what we want for wilderness. We certainly don't work that way. We come into the table knowing that these specific roadless areas are really special, but we also realize that there's a lot of other users on the forest with the other values, and we're willing to listen to those values and see where we can come to some kind of agreement. So there are certain spots, sure, we're not willing to budge on, but certain spots we certainly are. And so,
can you give me an example of one of those things that was non-negotiable? And these collaborative agreements are always described as a give and take. So what was something that the wilderness advocates had to give up to reach this agreement?
You know, one of the things that we discussed for many months, especially me, was with mountain bikers, is, you know, how do we provide an integrated trail system and long distance riding experiences, loop experiences, and these kind of things. So we worked, and especially I did, worked quite a bit with mountain bikers to try to come up with solutions for mountain biking riding opportunities in the South End, while also allowing some riding opportunities in the North End, and we adjusted wilderness borders and boundaries accordingly to make sure to protect some of those trails for them.
What was something that was hard for the wilderness advocates to give up, and what did you feel like you got in return for giving up something that was not easy to do?
Yeah, everybody has their own opinion on what's hard to give up, and compromise is hard. And if, you know, in my mind, what we do is local democracy. And if you don't go home kind of wrestling inwardly, then you're not compromising and you're not understanding where other people are coming from. And so I'm always sort of grappling inwardly, like, okay, is this something I can do? Is this something I can live with? You know, one of the pieces that was tough for me personally, and I think other people had other tough pieces, was we agreed to expand winter motorized use in certain areas that they currently have, kind of expanding existing snowmobile areas. And then we also expanded the footprint of winter snowmobile use in the South End. When I first looked at it, I said, oh, that looks like a really big increase to me. And it made me feel uncomfortable for a while. But at this point, it's something that has settled in, and I can certainly live with it. And I think it's been a learning experience for me as a wilderness advocate and a couple of the motorized interests at the table to say, I support you and your increased motorized use. And they've supported our 80,000 acres of wilderness in the Whitefish Range.
So you feel like having their backing was worth the sacrifice you had to personally make on the motorized areas.
Absolutely. And I understand their values too. You know, I think that they should have areas to ride and enjoy and recreate in on the Flathead National Forest.
What do you think you learned from the Whitefish Range partnership that applies to going forward with this forest plan, getting all these people together to come up with a plan that everybody can live with?
You know, the Flathead Forest went through sort of their more in-depth public process about a year ago, and I felt like it was useful, and it reminded me a little bit of some of the benefits that came out of the Whitefish Range partnership, which was simply having the opportunity to speak to other folks in the community, you know, and they're not like me, and that's okay. And so I enjoy that opportunity, and I think that there's a certain amount of learning that goes with just having the opportunity to communicate with one another. Yeah, it's not always comfortable, and certainly is not easy. But I learned some stuff, and I appreciated that opportunity in the larger planning process.
So it sounds like going forward, as the forest plan moves to some alternatives and closer to actually adopting the forest plan, it sounds like the real priority for MWA is getting those additional recommended wilderness areas added to the 188,000 acres that's already proposed as recommended wilderness in the draft plan now. Is that right?
We would like to add some protection onto the Bob Marshall Wilderness in the Swan Range. I think that area, you know, it was in previous wilderness bills, in the 88 wilderness bill and the 94 wilderness bill. We're talking about, you know, the Jewel Basin, south of the Jewel Basin. And I think that there's some opportunities there that you know, we can, some opportunities to protect additional grizzly bear habitat that's currently being managed as Grizzly Core, and has some amazing goat habitat as well, elk, and mule deer, and I think that area is just really, really important as well.
If those areas ultimately do not end up being designated as recommended wilderness in the final new Flathead Forest Plan, what do you feel like your options are as wilderness advocates?
We certainly advocate for some areas being non-motorized backcountry designation, which the Forest Service certainly uses that allocation well as well throughout their plan. And so that allows for other uses, you know, and other values to still be protected. And so there's certainly places for that as well across the forest.
Are there certain issues or aspects of the forest plan that you don't want to see in the final plan? I guess I'm trying to pin you down on what MWA is willing to go to the mat for and what you feel like you can live with.
One thing that is a concern for me right now is it appears that the Flathead Forest is going to be managing recommended wilderness and allowing what we call non-conforming uses within recommended wilderness. And that would be, you know, motorized and mountain biking and those kind of uses. And that is a concern for some of us. In our mind, recommended wilderness should be managed for the potential for Congress to designate. And historically, the challenge is that a lot of the recreational uses become established, and rightly so, and then it makes it really difficult to designate these areas in the future.
And certainly we don't see new wilderness being actually congressionally designated very often. So how important is it for this recommended wilderness to be written into the new Flathead Forest Plan? Does it really make a difference whether it's, you know, officially designated as such in the forest plan? Is
super important. We don't know what's going to happen in D.C. We don't have the control in the higher political levels, and certainly in Congress. So it's really important to set the stage for these lands to be protected. And then when Congress is ready to act, they'll be ready, and the Forest Service will be aligned as well in that way.
Beyond the forest plan, I guess we're still a couple years out from the target date for the plan to be final and adopted. After that, what's it going to take for the recommended wilderness to become federally protected?
The way we've operated with, for example, the Rocky Mountain Front Heritage Act that just got passed a few months ago, we at MWA are about building local grassroots support for wilderness. You know, we will be getting diverse support from businesses and constituencies, and then working with our delegation to see if we can move specific areas forward into Congress.
With the delegation Montana has now in Congress, are you optimistic that they'll be able to get something done wilderness-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. We're working with them all the time. Of course, there's a lot of uncertainty. There always is in this world, but we're always open to dialogue, and we're working with them.
For individual citizens who want to have some influence over what's in the new Flathead National Forest Plan, what's your advice for them to have some influence on that?
I've been saying to everybody, you know, this is a really big opportunity for everyone that cares about the Flathead National Forest and our public lands. And so I would suggest just commenting from your heart about what's important to you and or an air specific trail or a specific area or simply your values. And you can do that by going to the Flathead Forest website and dropping them an email or dropping them a note and sending it to their headquarters. Or you can go, of course, go to our website at wildmontana.org. And I just posted a blog up there last week with the contact of the Forest Service as well.
I tend to hear from a lot of people who are pretty cynical about public process, about government process, about the ability of the Forest Service to manage public lands. You really think that folks sending their letters in and participating in this process really makes a difference?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. People have got to make a voice. They've got to speak up. It's the only way that we create change. And I was told by one county commissioner a while back that, you know, Amy, you're a change maker. And I said, yeah, I guess so. I never really thought of that before. But I think we all are change makers. We just have to have a little bit of faith. And it's hard to be positive in a world full of negativity. But we've got to keep trying. There's no other choice.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.